Welcome to the Collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash. Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What? Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning again, and welcome to Crossroads. This is the second hour of our two-hour special that we do every first Tuesday live here from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl. Because of the COVID, we used to have breakfast where an audience could sit in and have breakfast and enjoy the show. But they're just trying to bounce back from the COVID, so hopefully in the near future we'll be able to have breakfast for our listening audience while we're doing the show. But in the meantime, we got to keep it rolling. And I want to say thank you for staying tuned for the second hour, which is just as informative and enlightening as the first hour. But before we start, we open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Hey, here's what a Supermax prison is about. For those of you who don't know, a Supermax prison is more secure than a maximum security prison and houses the highest risk inmates. But it's really just a bastardized term for what it really is, a mental torture chamber. It is composed of cops and inmate killers, violent people that could not survive in any prison. It is a 23-hour lockdown with 1 hour 5 days a week in either an outside cage or an inside cell, both areas that have nothing except empty spaces, and some men will never, ever see grass or trees for the rest of their life. Reducing recidivism, creating a path to successful reentry. Leaving prison should mean having a fresh start, but for many returning citizens, it presents a host of new challenges. Reentering society can be overwhelming for many reasons. And unfortunately, many people end up back in prison despite various reform initiatives. Studies have shown that more than half of prisoners have been incarcerated more than once. And for many people, breaking the cycle of incarceration is extremely difficult. People who have been incarcerated frequently encounter financial challenges that are very difficult to overcome, which makes it harder for them to build a stable, financial future. Secondly, mapping the progress of policies to limit non-safety related traffic stops. Over the past decades, efforts to limit non-safety related traffic stops has swept across the United States. These stops for low-level infractions like a dangling air freshener, single burnt out taillight, or expired registration do not improve traffic safety, and police officers have used them in ways that disproportionately subject Black drivers to physical, psychological, economic, and even death. Oftentimes, police have used these stops as a pretext to search for guns and drugs. And that's been a brief report of the, I forgot what I call that then. So thank you for tuning in. I'm telling you, getting old ain't no joke, Jack. You just listened to the grapevine. So thank you for that. Now we get to our second hour, and we got our co-host Nikecha Taifa joining us. She's in the car mobile this morning, driving somewhere. I don't know where she's going, but she's always mobile. Our topic this morning is type 2 diabetic. It's an amputation crisis in our community. Amputation, men and women, limbs are being amputated needlessly and expensively. And we got a doctor here. His name is Dr. Victor L. Horsley. He's a podiatrist, He specializes in podiatry medicine, and he's the author of My Toe Can't Go. My Toe Can't Go. Good morning, Dr. Victor Horsley. How are you doing?
Doing just fine, Brother Roach.
Want to thank you for coming in on short notice. We met you a week ago at a friend of ours' house for a birthday party. And man, we were sitting there enjoying ourselves, and you got to talking about what you were doing. And you said something that really struck us, that we got a crisis, another crisis. Why is it everything we talk about is a crisis in our community? Then we're talking about the amputation crisis, that men and women are having their limbs amputated needlessly for various reasons. Good morning, Doctor. I want to thank you for coming in. Can you give us a little brief background on who you are and how you got into this particular field?
Brief background is what is happening. I'd like to talk about my start here at Ben's Chili Bowl and Howard University 50 years ago. And I guess it would be 54 years ago because I entered Howard University at that time. And that's when first time I entered Ben's Chili Bowl. And I thank the establishment at Ben's for hosting us. And I thank you, Roach Brown and Mertine. I really appreciate you helping me get the word out of the type 2 diabetic pandemic amputation crisis. So after Howard, I went to Temple University, wasn't sure what I was going to do. And next thing you know, I was in a full teaching program, teaching at Gratz High School in Philly as a certified teacher. What a treat. Then I met a brother in podiatry school at the Pennsylvania College of Podiatric Medicine, of which there are only 10 schools in this country, probably 11 in the world. He told me about podiatry, and I applied, was accepted, went to Cleveland, studied in Detroit. Next thing you know, I'm in East St. Louis practicing, and everything was minimally invasive surgery, ankle reconstruction, restoration of arches or hyperpronation. As my practice progressed, I went from just doing surgery to more wound care. I noticed more and more and more diabetics. I started practicing in 1982. And the diabetic type 2 crisis, which 90% of all diabetics are type 2 diabetics, began in 1997, declared by the CDC as a pandemic. We know we had another pandemic in the meantime, and the good doctor that was just on with you, Roach, they did a great job talking about trauma. Turns out these 170,000 amputations on our diabetics, they're calling non-traumatic. And the main factor we want to bring to everyone's attention is polyneuropathy. And polyneuropathy is why certain things can sneak up on you, because there's no longer a connection from the brain to the toe. And when the toe doesn't have either the proper flow of blood, or when the brain is not connected properly and you can't detect the feeling or sensory on the bottom of your feet, then you're open for an ulceration, a wound, some type of trauma. And this trauma goes undetected. And because it goes undetected, it has a tendency to lead to amputations. So now that I've retired from podiatry, I was planning to live in Nassau, Bahamas forever, but I had to come and co-author this book called My Toe Can't Go. And My Toe Can't Go is a children's medical book that is written from the perspective for the entire family. And it will serve those at high risk in the family while training the children to avoid type 2 diabetes completely. It'll also help the family members to reverse their type 2 diabetes and have a happy family, non-traumatic, and we won't have the non-traumatic amputations. We want the limb preservations, L-E-A-P. We want to leap into this lower extremity amputation prevention. So that's me. I no longer teach at the Dr. William M. Scholl College of Podiatric Medicine, associated with Rosalind Franklin University. I was in the capstone program teaching rear foot reconstruction plus minimally invasive surgery to the students to prepare them for their residency experience. They need to know every procedure so nothing's a surprise. I've retired from everything, and my new job is stopping type 2 diabetic amputation.
You know, when we met last week, you explained something that, everything surprises me, because I know very little. The bottom line is that your book, a children's health book, My Toe Can't Go, and you explain about how amputations are diagnosed, how they are treated, and that they may start with a toe, but eventually your foot and your leg is going to go. It was amazing that at my age, I've had 30 to 40 physical examinations, and I've never had my feet, never had my foot examined. After 30 to 40 medical exams, how is it that you go for a medical exam, they never check your feet? And it didn't hit me until you brought this to our attention about the number of diabetic amputations. 170,000 people are have limbs amputated a year.
Correct. Much respect to those medical doctors, because they certainly have their hands full. So much so that they now have nurse practitioners to assist them with the multitudes of individuals that are coming in sicker than ever before. So the reason I would think that no one has ever examined anybody's feet, because they weren't trained to recognize feet. And so what I'd like to do is to introduce a polyneuropathy home test kit. This home test kit will give us the opportunity to tell the doctor to look at our feet. That's why the doctor has never probably looked at our feet, because they're so busy, they have so much to do, and they're so intelligent, but they're not trained in feet. When I was in Nassau, Bahamas for 4 years, every 4 weeks, I would train a medical doctor in feet, foot surgery, injections, nail removals, ulcers, wounds, trimming, and debridement. These medical doctors would then be stationed at the Family Islands, where there are no podiatrists in the Bahamas, and they could handle diabetic foot complications. And it seems that most of them start at the toe. So with this medical children's book, which is also STEM compliant, this particular book will educate the family, but especially the children, so the grandchildren can come home and monitor the diabetic relative daily, because there's a chart in the back of the book for all the most important numbers daily, like blood pressure, pulse, temperature, and most importantly, your daily blood sugar levels.
You know, I looked at some of that material, that there's an amputation every 3.5 minutes internationally, and amputations occur every 20 seconds. You mentioned something at the party we met, that when you sit down and you get a physical and the doctors haven't been trained to diagnose feet, what is it that our listeners can do? If they're concerned, if you have type 2 diabetes, or you don't want to get even type 1, what is it that we can do, since your doctor hasn't been trained to diagnose or look at your feet for any signs of a potential illness or whatever? What is it?
I see. And it's an excellent question. How can we take charge? How can we be in control of the health, of our health? Because health is wealth. What we can do is, I hear so many people saying, I'm pre-diabetic. 1 out of 3 people, probably 1 out of 2 people in certain neighborhoods, are pre-diabetic.
What does that mean?
Pre-diabetes is associated with what they call the hemoglobin A1C, your metabolic syndrome, your blood pressure, your pulse. Takes into combination anywhere from 3 to 10 metabolic functions in the body. And when those functions aren't up to par, when your A1C is over 6.1. We know 7 is way too high for A1C. When your daily glucose is way above 100 or 89, which is normal, then we need to put those medications, those patients on medications. But it is those patients who have polyneuropathy. Polyneuropathy can be detected up to 5 years before the diagnosis of diabetes. So I'm on a mission, and now we're on a mission with WPFW 89.3 FM to help resolve polyneuropathy, to educate individuals and bring to them what they need to know about making the chief complaint polyneuropathy. If we can do that 5 years before the diagnosis of diabetes, first of all, we'll begin treatment. Early treatment is essential for polyneuropathy, and that normally involves a vitamin B1 and a B12 combination.
So you should.
One thing about vitamin B1, it's water soluble. All your vitamin Bs are water soluble. There's a vitamin B now invented by the Japanese about 60, 65 years ago called benfotiamine. And benfotiamine is a synthetic vitamin B1, which is thiamine, but it has superior bioavailability, meaning it gets through your gut to every cell of the body. And vitamin B1 is an important coenzyme to make that glucose pop. And when that glucose pops, it jumps into that mitochondria, and the mitochondria produces the ATPs we need for daily function and for proper nerve health. So if we don't have, whatever reasons, we have a vitamin B deficiency, we must address that in our pre-diabetics. So what can we do, Broach? What we can do is we need to find out who these pre-diabetics are, get them a copy of My Toe Can't Go, tell them about polyneuropathy, and show them how to do the home test.
You know, we've been talking at the first hour with Dr. Damon Hart about trauma in the Black community, about traumaology. And a lot of men and women are being released from prison after serving 20, 30, even 50 years and more. Mm. And they come out in the street after 50 years, and in less than a year, 18 months, they get a foot or a leg amputated. And they've been in prison with the lack of proper medical care inside of institutions. And yet the Supreme Court ruled in 1976 that the only people in society who are entitled to free medical care are prisoners. But yet they don't get that while inside of prison. After 50 years, you come in the street and they cut your foot off. And you're looking to come home and you're happy you're being released. And your problems are compounded because you say pre-diabetes. How can one diagnose themselves if you don't have a medical physician available? You're locked in a prison or a cell. How do you identify that you have diabetic condition?
Well, the doctor will normally, if they give prisoners a routine exam and they check their blood work, they'll alert them to a high blood sugar and then start them on medication. But once again, there's at least 15% of those pre-diabetics that have polyneuropathy. And these 15% go on to wounds, ulcerations, and limb loss. And no limb has ever been lost from a leg problem or a knee problem. It is virtually always a toe problem. And then by removal of that and removal of this and removal of the other, they wind up in a conundrum where 5 years or less, they'll be dead or have another ulceration. Because once you take off one body part in the lower extremity, your life expectancy is severely limited, or you're in the category for another amputation. So we need to identify that polyneuropathy to our prisoners. We need to teach the healthcare providers, the nurse practitioners, and it takes 5 minutes to teach someone how to touch the bottom of someone's toe with a fishing line. But to be really cool with it, we have them close their eyes. I'll touch them on the wrist. Do you feel this? Oh, I feel it. And then at least 15 or greater percent of everyone I touch on the bottom of the toe will not feel that little fishing wire.
Why not? Why not?
That is the beginning of nerve damage. There's an insulation on the little nerves, and there are millions of little nerves at our fingertips and on the bottoms of our feet. We have major nerves, 12 nerves in the brain, for example, for oculomotor, and what have you. But there are millions of nerves, so we can tell if something's hot or cold when we touch it. We can feel the button in the buttonhole when we're getting dressed or tie our tie. But when these nerves lose their insulation, called the myelin sheath, the neurodegeneration kind of wears out the insulation to the nerve. And when that insulation does not protect the nerve, the body begins to attack it. And just like a wet sponge goes to dry, that's how the nerves in your feet progress to a dried up state, and you cannot feel anything. Like glass in your shoe, or even a too small shoe, can lead to big problems, especially if you have decreased circulation, and it just doubles and intensifies. And one fact, even with the prisoners, 80% of all diabetics succumb to heart disease. So we have to be very careful.
80% of all diabetics succumb to heart disease?
Yes, they do. You know, and whatever percentage is for the limb preservation that is not occurring, 80% will have stents and what have you. And you were talking about the prisons. I'm also concerned about the sports personnel. There was a gentleman who gave me permission to use his name, Brother Ike Blessed from the 72 Championship Tigers. I was with him at a health fair. They sat me right next to him, and he had the heart disease he was announcing to the public. But more shockingly, he was a double amputee from the 72 Tigers. So it reaches all facets of people, athletes, moms, housewives, teachers, doctors, lawyers, everyone, prisoners. So we have to catch people. It's really so simple. It seems like it just couldn't be the result, because there are so many solutions right now. We have skin substitutes. We have a PRP, where you can inject your own plasma to get the stem cells like Kobe Bryant had into his Achilles. We have so many things to heal ulcers and wounds, but yet the pandemic rages on. So the only solution is a children's book. Let's teach these children that this is not the way we have to live. We want to live without foot problems, without polyneuropathy. And
one of the things hit my mind, when you go to a doctor and your insurance company, whatever, and they dictate or decide that you have to get a complete physical, and you don't get a complete physical, you get everything but your feet.
That's correct.
And the feet is the basis of your problem. That's your foundation.
Right.
So what is it that we can do? Our community, because, you know, we have lack of medical health treatment. We don't get the complete physicals, etc. What is it that our listeners can do to check their own feet to make sure they're not in a pre-diabetic condition, or they can run that test that you did on us in terms of with that little that wire?
A little fishing wire, right?
Go ahead.
What can we do? I think the best thing that we can do is to address the reality of the situation. Let the children know that this is the only solution to the problem. There is obviously no other solution. So if we can get the book, teach the children, reach the community, screen the information, and join forces with soldiers and generals to get the word out, then it's going to be essential. With our current diabetics who aren't receiving the care that they of their feet, they're receiving excellent medical care, but not getting any attention for their feet like they should. There's maybe 2% of doctor's offices that do look at, or the healthcare providers that do look at feet. So if we can get to the people that we currently do have pre-diabetes, get them on a vitamin B substitute, and if this vitamin B substitute is taken properly, it will not only restore and, or let's say, improve that burning, numbness, tingling, and also polyneuropathy leads to being a fall risk. And when you're a fall risk, that is a leading cause of mortality as well.
Let me ask you this. If you go back to a doctor now to get a physical, and as I said, I had 30 to 40 physicals and never had my feet examined. Even to the day, I've never had a foot examination. I understand there's high level of diabetes in the islands, in the Caribbean. Is that due to enslavement area, the sugar cane, or the economic situation down in the Caribbean? How do they deal with it? Because they got high levels of diabetes and amputations in the Caribbean.
Absolutely correct. It is said that the crisis in the Caribbean is double that. So for surgeons globally, there's an amputation every 20 seconds in America, every 3.5 minutes, like what you were saying. But what causes that? There's so many factors. They say there's type 1 and type 2 diabetics, but I think there's type 1 through 365 types of diabetics. Big diabetics, small diabetics, obese, super thin, young, old. There's so many types. It's hard to fall into a category, but nothing is working. It is hitting our community so hard that for the first time in human history, life expectancy is on the decline, especially in our neighborhoods.
See, again, the first hour we had on Dr. DeMond Hope, a traumatologist, and he's talking about the trauma that is inflicted upon the Black community, and everything we experience is trauma-related or trauma-connected, and right. It impacts us. What is it, man? Again, this stuff is just blowing me away. We just had another one-hour show, and that's a crisis about trauma in our community. This is the second hour. We're talking about diabetes. I had a friend who just died a few months ago. He had his leg amputated. Then a year later, they took off the other leg, and then he died.
Right.
But when you get these start getting limbs amputated, it's just a matter of time before you pass away. What's the connection between having an amputation and death, and particularly in our community? Why is it in our community? I ain't got to say why. I know what it is.
We know why.
There's right. Hell on every level. It's like fighting Mike Tyson 7 days a week. I couldn't fight Mike Tyson for 1 minute, but you got to fight Mike Tyson every day for 7 days. You can't put up with that, man.
Every waking moment. Well, we want to start with your home foot exam, or get a neighbor if you live by yourself. Get a mirror and angle it on the floor, so where you can look at the bottom of your feet as a diabetic. A lot of people can't even put their own socks and shoes on. They have assistive devices. Well, chances are you can't cross your legs and look at the bottom of your feet either. So all you have to do is get a little bit of mirror and a safety mirror. They have mirrors that are made of a metal substance as opposed to all glass or any type of mirror. Do your self-put exam, have a family member do it. Also, the Braddock device. The Braddock device is what they used to have when we wore all those Buster Brown shoes when we were little. They would measure our little feet, and next thing you know, you have the proper fitting shoe. Well, somehow, we all know our shoe size, and a high percentage of our diabetics are totally incorrect to their shoe size. So, because their feet are numb, you put a shoe on, you say, hey, I'm a size 10. You put the shoe on, it feels great, but it's actually too tight. But you have a sensory disorder from neurodegeneration called polyneuropathy, and your feet don't tell your brain that your shoe is 3 sizes too small. It's kind of like putting a $5 hat on a nickel head. So what we want to do is simple things. Home self-exam, have your feet measured for the proper shoe size, wear the proper shoe, use the proper lotions on your feet, go see a healthcare provider on the phone when you're calling for your doctor. Ask them, do they do foot exams? Ask your medical doctor, does the healthcare provider do a foot exam? So you don't have to go 8 years without a doctor ever seeing your feet.
Why is it that the American Medical Association and all the medical hierarchy haven't recognized this and state that when you receive a physical, a medical physical examination, that foot examination should be included in that exam, because it's like you're paying for a medical examination, physical, right. But yet it's 98% income, 98%, the 2% or 5% of your foot is not even touched, diagnosed, or analyzed.
Right.
Have the medical association taken a stand or position in terms of making sure that foot examination is must be a part of a medical examination?
Yes, but in order to establish that process, we have to have medical data, published studies, et cetera, and that'll take 10 years. In 10 years, no one will have, none of our type 2 diabetics, I won't say none of them, but such a high percentage will undergo amputations in 10 years, waiting on the studies to come out. They can't just see it happening, which is obvious. They have to have the published studies. So with the proper studies, maybe in 10 years, it'll be good. But in 10 years, this movement is going to be on fire and in phase 10 in 10 years. Because our goal is to stop these 80% of amputations that are unnecessary. So of 170,000, 80% are totally unnecessary.
Woo, so did you hear that?
I just want to work with those folks. You know what I'm saying?
Woo.
I don't want to work with the folks that other 20% because they have these excellent doctors, vascular surgeons, dermatologists.
Okay, come on. Come on, Akichi. Come on in. Come on, Akichi. Are you there, Akichi?
Akichi, you there?
This is WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. Okay, you're listening to Roach and Mertine Brown, and we our topic this afternoon for the second hour is type 2 diabetic amputation crisis. And you, if you want to call in with a question or comment or join this discussion, the number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. You said that 80% of all of 170,000 amputations yearly, 80% are not necessary. Why
back
not?
Then. Back to it, it doesn't even seem real.
No, why?
But with it early, because there's no early detection. And by the time the doctor sees your ulcer, your infected bone, etc., by the time you get to the doctor, the vascular surgeon, the podiatrist, by the time you get there, oh, it's too late. It's just too late. Wow. So what we need to catch these 80% early. We need to get them up on game, school them just right, and with that education, they'll know how to avoid that fate.
Okay, we have a call, John Murray Zimmerman. He's on. He's a student from the university. He's a farmer, and he want to ask a question. Are you there, John?
Brother. Okay.
Are you there? Yes. Okay, come on with your question, sir.
I'm a fan of Dr. Osley. I'm a farmer. So I'm mentioning that the fact that prevention can be worked through the diet, we can get more people into a more plant-based diet that prevent them from getting this type 1 or type 1 diabetes. That's my contribution. Thank you, Dr. Osley, for that work.
He's saying that he's a farmer. What about plant-based foods?
Yes, that's Brother John, the farmer, and he has a farm and he delivers or has fresh vegetables available now that the growing season is on. He's from Burundi in Africa, where they grow tons of green tea there. But his point is valid. If a whole food plant-based diet is essential, not being a vegan, not being a vegetarian, but eat way less of the things that lead to heart disease. Eat an improved oil type, like cook with coconut oil and just simple thing. And even the great olive oil should not be cooked with because it has a single carbon bond. And when heated, it has a double carbon bond that becomes toxic to us and causes this oxidative stress that leads to diabetes. So what we're trying to do is to have a package for people. The book, The Farmer, The Early Intervention Kit, We have a package and we're going to get out there. There are also studies in vitamin B deficiency associated with long haul COVID, associated with Alzheimer's, dementia. And so there are studies that people need to check out because it's a possibility that your Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, et cetera, might be secondary or tertiary to a vitamin B deficiency. So whatever else, if you can improve the function of the brain with the vitamin B, then everything else might just get better as well.
I want you to elaborate on that because I got two guests just came in, Willie Jolly and his wife, Dee.
Yeah.
And we all met last week at Janice's house for a birthday celebration. And you were elaborating about the benefits of vitamin B, B1 or 12. Can you share some of that information in terms of the advantages of vitamin B and the impact it plays on our health?
Okay, well, I guess the cat's out the bag. I told all my friends I was at a big meeting at the National Institute of Health.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me where I really was. I was at that party. You're Willie and you, Dolly, over there, and Martini, and where I met you, Roach. You know, I appreciate you guys for sure. And, but yeah, that's our new mission. My new mission is to educate the children because everything else isn't working. If we can educate these children, we're going to be in good shape. But the home test kit, how do we get these home test kits? How do we get the book? Well, I can give my email address right now. And that email address is my, like my name, the initials, Victor Horsley, so VH. And like the book, My Toe Can't Go, MTCG. So VHMTCG@gmail.com. And you can reach me, and I can give you additional information on the book, on polyneuropathy, and forward you studies to fact check what I'm saying.
We got another caller on. Question or comment, please, and your name? You're on the air.
Mr. Roach Brown, this is Joni. Merry Christmas to you.
Well, hello, Joni, won't he?
I want to thank you for this outstanding program and this outstanding discussion and physician. And I want to say this is an example of how we at WPFW need to continue to work more together. I want to introduce this wonderful podiatrist to Dr. Watkins, who talks about diabetes and all that all the time. So there are a few of us on PFW that need to continue to really collaborate so we can help the community more. I'm excited to hear about this young man on the air today. So thank you, Roach Brown, and I'm going to work to connect him and you with Dr. Watkins.
Well, thank you for calling. Joni, you are our decathlon champion at the station. You are involved in all kinds of programs helping out folks, and you're always on the front line. Thank you for calling in, Joni. We have another caller on with a question or comment for Dr. Horsley. You're on the air, please.
Yes, sir. This is Josephus from Bowie. Congratulations on your presentation.
Thank you, Joe.
Secondhand information from my wife. She's a teacher over at a school in Southeast, and she constantly talks about how some of the children's breath is emanating from silver implants in their teeth. So maybe you can comment on that.
Go ahead, Doc.
Oh, I know nothing about the teeth other than the impact that diabetes has on the gums, which leads to gum disease and then heart disease, because that's what gum disease leads to, or loss of teeth. But your wife is an astute observer and knows what she's talking about. That's all I can say on that. But for sure, all those children, they are headed down the path of type 2 diabetes, and we check the numbers, and we have to reverse that together. So maybe you'll join us as a soldier and or invite me to your school. You have your wife invite me for a talk with the children or a play, My Toe Can't Go, and we can do an illustration so they will know how to avoid this.
You said previously that there's only 10 schools of podiatry in America. 10.
That's correct. Five that when was, I went to school. Only five.
So there's only 10 schools that teaches podiatry in America.
That's correct.
Is that sufficient or insufficient?
Oh, that's there's yeah, right. There's 150 medical schools, maybe 75 osteopathic colleges, hundreds and hundreds of nursing schools. No one has a podiatry course. I'm sure one might call in. Oh, sure, we have one, or maybe two. But it's our responsibility in podiatry just to do bunions and hammer toes in 1982.
Yeah.
But this pandemic sneaks up on us in 1995, 97, and that changed the whole ballgame. I went from doing strictly surgery to doing surgery on the foot to take pressure spots off, to raise bones minimally invasively. And if I could raise these bones, the ulcer will disappear. And they have ulcers or wounds. A wound should close in like 6-7 days. You get a scab and it's gone. But they have ulcers for months, years. And you don't know because everyone you see has on socks and shoes. Mm-hmm. So you don't know if they're missing a toe or two, if they have an open wound or three. I've met people in Nassau. When you go to the other countries, go to the public health clinics and take a look at the wounds that come in, just regular nice people you never suspect. They might have driven in traffic with you, the car behind you. But I get out to look and observe. They get out for treatment, and they have wounds that you cannot believe. And one famous wound for a diabetic, it's called the Charcot foot. And the Charcot foot comes from neurodegeneration and the bones. And it turns out one foot don't know where they are. So they fall apart. So you have one size 10 foot and one size 15 shoe because your foot is swollen and large. It's called the Charcot. And it's from neurodegeneration, from abnormal retrograde biomechanical pressure on your feet. And the foot falls apart. So we were talking about temperature from the doctor. How nice if they just took the temperature of your feet. Maybe one foot is very cold, but maybe you have a vascular, a blockage, arterial problem. Maybe one foot is super hot. That foot is on its way to Charcot. If Charcot is horrible, you have to buy two pairs. You have to buy one regular shoe and an orthopedic shoe or just get a custom-made shoes, and custom-made shoes, I think, started about $500-$600.
Wow. What is it that we can do on a preventive basis for folks who are listening to the show and concerned about what you're talking about pre-diabetic and how to prevent these amputations from occurring? What is it that we can do? Secondly, is there some kind of way that the American Medical Association could include foot examinations in all physical body exams? Because I've never had a physical exam on my feet.
Right. It's more like what you said. What can we do? Because I certainly cannot go to the American Medical Association, who has excellent information online. The American Podiatric Medical Association, excellent information online, and the CDC, and the list goes on of excellent information, and no one's reading it, and no one's taking advantage of it, and the pandemic rages on with all the excellent advice from AMA and what have you. So I said, it's time for a different approach before our communities are totally gentrified. My toe can't go. An early home test kit. We're going to find these pre-diabetics with polyneuropathy. We're going to start them on a vitamin B supplement that's beneficial for them. And next thing you know, they're going to live a healthy life and not fall into the 80% of totally unnecessary diabetic complication group.
What are the costs for amputations for a toe, a half a foot, or a foot? What's the cost connected with making an amputation?
It's only $150,000 per cut.
Per cut, $150,000 to cut your toes off?
That's it. It's $100. You go to the hospital, and they say, "Oh, we had to remove so and so's toe." That's $150,000 package. It turns out, we got to take a little more. Cha-ching, another $150,000. Oh, it turns out, who would have thought, we got to remove below the knee. Cha-ching. So you can, 450, you know, over $500,000. And these people are public aid mostly, poor people who can't afford it. Who's in Bahamas, it's only 100. So the amputations are on sale. They're $100,000 each. And with 800 million amputations there in the Caribbean.
800,000, yeah.
It's free healthcare. So it's funny, it's free to have your foot removed, but it costs to go see a good podiatrist and have it saved. Go figure.
Are you getting any support from the medical field or the American Association of Podiatry in terms of supporting what you push, what you've been advocating?
It turns out I'm getting a tremendous response and support day by day. I just featured in LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine. I get my props here and there, and I get in where I fit in. So I jumped in the car from the Motor City. I drove these 9 hours to come on down here. Let DC know what's up. From here, I'm going to hit Philly, the ATL, and Jersey. That's my goal. And we're going to start getting these home test kits out, getting these books out, getting the information about early intervention, early recognition of what? Polyneuropathy.
What can kids do? Your book is titled My Toe Can't Go, and you want to, this is a kid's medical book on how to prevent this pre-diabetic and amputation. What is it the kids can do now? If their parents are listening to the show, and before they get the book or they can buy one of the books, what can kids do to prevent this from happening to them?
Well, kids will help their parents and grandparents or family members at high risk. That's what the kids not only can do, they'll annoy the heck out of you doing it daily. Pop, pop. Let's go with those numbers. Now, they may not have done their homework. They may not have done cleaned up their room, yeah, but they will sure ride Pop-Pop and his numbers daily. And then they'll open this book up, record his numbers, and in bringing awareness to the children, that's how the children will avoid type 2 diabetes by being an active. Don't find out about Pop-Pop after the amputation, when he's homebound, when the prosthetic comes, when the special shoe comes with the toe filler. You know, you gotta, where they make you a Dr. Scholl's like insole, but it's got a big toe in it. So when you put your shoe on, the other four toes can, it has, serves as a buttress, so they can lean on it. Because without that in your shoe, the other toes lean over where the big toe was, and then they wind up being at high risk for removal.
Okay. Richard, we got another call on. Question or comment, please. Your name?
Yes, I got a, can you hear me? I got a comment. This
yes.
is Bill.
Come on.
Maryland.
Can hear you.
Let me make it very quickly. This is amazing information. Thank you so much, Roach, for having this. I'm 75 years old, don't have diabetes. I've been pre-diabetes a couple of times, but it's amazing to what the information I'm hearing. Most of us have a family member or a friend who we know has an amputee. My stepfather and my biological father both had were amputees. My best friend years ago, we attended Howard together. He is an amputee. Friend just recently, just 2 weeks ago, VA buddy had his leg and his right foot he's an amputee now. So I'm going to try to push some information out there to my family members and friends. Open up, my eyes are wide open now. Thank you so much for this program this morning. Appreciate
Thank
you. Both
you. You were talking. Go ahead. You were mentioning earlier, Dr. Horsman, about the kids being involved in terms of this book, My Toe Can't Go. Are there any groups, because I know kids, if they get on something, they will press and push. Do you have any, I won't call it toe clubs, for lack of a better term, for these kids to participate, and they can, on their own, give and take amongst themselves and make sure that they stay on track. Because anything starts with your foundation, and our foundation is our foot. Right. You stand on it. And if that's out of order, everything else is ain't going to be in line. So what is it that we can do to get these kids more involved? Besides your book, you're saying, my toe can't go. When I first saw it, I didn't know what you was talking about. What do you mean my toe can't go? My toe don't never move by itself. All of them go together. It's a group thing here. You know what I mean? How do you individualize toes? But the kit you mentioned, this test kit, is that available for people to purchase, that want to test their own feet to see if they need to get it checked out further?
Yes. You write me on that email, BHMTCG, and you know that's Gmail, everybody. Request the test kit. They only cost $10. Keeping in mind,
where you get the kit from?
I make them up at home. I'm the manufacturer right now, and if we go big time, we'll go big time. I'm nice. I just stay up putting those kits together with full instructions, and I did a video on how to, so I can email them how to do the test kit at home, a 1-minute video, and they will receive this information, and it'll change their lives. It'll change the family's lives and their neighbors, just like the caller that was saying. He's not diabetic, but everyone has a story. You started off with a story, Brother Roach, and Brother Willie, he had a story about a friend. You know, it was everybody had a story. Or there's 150 reasons to have polyneuropathy. So everyone that has polyneuropathy is not always a type 2 diabetic. Yeah. Some forms of cancer can cause it. Some cancer treatment can cause polyneuropathy. Some vitamin deficiencies, and yet alcoholism is also a cause of polyneuropathy.
You know, we got 2 minutes. Can you give your contact information on how to get by the book and get the test kit to our listening audience or somebody that won't want to take this a little further?
Okay. Well, I would say contact WPFW 98.3, Paul Roach Brown, call the station. And they're going to forward me your information. I will contact you and let you know what's up. And we want to get you this home test kit that is going to change your life, save a limb, and save a leg.
What can we do? What can we do now? Somebody got concerns about their feet. What can they do now? If they order a book or the test kit, what can they do now?
Well, the book is on Amazon for sure. My toe can't go. So I would order the book and get the home test kit, order that. The book is $26.11. Home test kit is $10. So for under $50, you can prevent $150,000 amputation, plus the fact the gauze, everything is so expensive. Wound care, doctor's visits, it impacts the family members who have to take the person in a wheelchair to the doctor, where they should probably be working, but they're not working because they're all instant provider. Health, the shortage and the programs are being cut, Medicaid, I don't know about Medicare, but probably so. And the food programs being cut. So it's a matter of the proper food for children, early intervention. Get this book. So they should call the station, contact you, stay in touch. I'll be in touch with you, and then I'm going to get a website together, and we're going to go ahead and have this available for you very shortly.
Thank you.
You can also find that out from you right at the radio station.
Thank you. You've been listening to Dr. Victor Horsley, the podiatrist medicine. The gentleman has a very inspiring and encouraging outlook in terms of what we could do for our health and our foot. This show this morning, the first hour, dealt with trauma in the Black community. Now we're talking about amputations in the Black community. And at the top of the show, I raised the question, why is it that everything we talk about is a crisis?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everything that affects our community is a crisis. So Dr. Horsley, you've been very enlightening and inspiring. I want to thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. And for that lady to invite us to her house for that birthday, Brandon, Janice Jefferson. I want to thank you, Janice, for inviting us all over there. Okay, our time is up. Like you said, call the station, leave your information, and we'll forward your information to Dr. Horsley. And remember, this has been Crossroads, your station for jazz and justice, and your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
The Birchmere presents Omar, July 17th, Hubert Laws, July 20th, Hiroshima, July 24th, and Sheila E., July 30th. Details at thebirchmere.com.
While Medgarvis and Patrice Lumumba were not personally acquainted, their lives and struggles are often commemorated together due to the parallels in their commitment to fighting for the self-determination and liberation of African people. WPFW celebrates the centennial of this parallel vision with From Mississippi to the Congo, 100 Years of Lumumba and Medgar, Wednesday, July 2nd, noon until midnight on WPFW. Building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
This July 4th, WPFW presents Higher, the poetic genius of Sekou Sundiata and the musical innovation of Sly Stone. From 9 a.m. until 7 p.m., we begin at 11 a.m. with an airing of Sekou Sundiata's 51st Dream State, a multimedia meditation on empire. At 1 p.m., our multifaceted exploration of Sly Stone kicks off until 7 p.m. with tributes curated by Brother Jamil, James Funk, and DJ Lance Reynolds. Full schedule at WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Greetings. This is Papa Wabe inviting you to check out my new showgram, Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, every Thursday morning from 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We present a mashup of positive, uplifting music of different genres, mainly roots reggae. We also feature poetry, speeches, artist interviews, and so much more. That's Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, Thursday mornings, 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on WPFW 89.3 FM, making it a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Free your mind!
We are going to march to the White House, and we are going to deliver a message. Trump must go now.
This 4th of July, RefuseFascism.org is saying, don't celebrate Trump's fascist America. Protest. Don't barbecue with family. While immigrant families are being ripped apart, troops are in the streets, elected officials are being threatened and arrested, and fascism is advancing. No, the lesson of history is that fascism must be defeated before it becomes too late. That is why on July 4th, at 2 p.m. at Logan Circle, RefuseFascism.org will rally and then march to the White House to declare independence from Trump's fascist America in the name of humanity. Then, right in front of the White House, they will raise the biggest chant heard round the world.
Trump must go now!
Trump must go now!
Details and to get involved, RefuseFascism.org. Yeah!
The Youth Resiliency Institute's annual Cherry Hill Arts and Music Waterfront Festival is back on Friday, July 4th, 1 until 10 p.m. at Middle Branch Park in Baltimore. Music, food trucks, children's activities, vendors, art exhibition, and more in celebration of the 15th anniversary of the Youth Resiliency Institute. Performers include Navasha Dea, Cecily, DJ Grin, and Fusion Orchestra, and more. Details at cherryhillfest.com or 443-813-2116. WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
Welcome to the Collision.